Hello everybody, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is How, your occupational therapist. And welcome to Occupational Therapy Conversations. Today, we are going to talk about chorea. What it is, what causes it, and most importantly, how we as occupational therapists can support people living with it. What is chorea? Chorea is a movement problem. It is a movement disorder. And the word comes from the Greek word chorea, which means dance. And that's actually what it looks like. People with chorea make sudden, irregular, dance-like movements that they could not control. These movements can affect the arms, the legs, face, or the trunk. Mind you, these movements also are not rhythmic. They are not predictable, and they often flow from one muscle group to another. The key thing to remember is this. Chorea disappears when somebody is sleeping, like properly asleep. But with stress, it can get worse. With excitement, it can get worse. Or with fatigue, it can get worse as well. What would be the cause of this? Remember, guys, chorea is not a condition. It is a symptom. It is not a diagnosis in itself. And so there would be something that would cause this. Obviously, it is a brain where the root problem would be the brain. But there are some conditions that would cause symptoms of chorea. Some conditions could be genetic, like the Huntington's chorea or Huntington's disease. You can have some autoimmune causes like Sydenham's chorea, which happens after a strep infection in children. That's one. You can have some metabolic or systemic conditions such as Wilson's disease or some thyroid disorders. And some medications can do this as well, like antipsychotics, for example, or for people who are taking levodopa, and this can actually trigger some choreiform movement. And sometimes stroke or brain injury involving the basal ganglia would cause chorea. What does it mean functionally then? For someone living with chorea, these movements, it's not just a strange dancing, guys. They really would interfere with somebody's life. And imagine yourself just having these jerky movement from the shoulder to the trunk, to the legs, to the arms. So if you have this, imagine somebody having these problems. What can be the functional implications? Obviously, eating and drinking will be a problem, can get messy, and the person can be unsafe, especially if it's hot water. Dressing can be very frustrating and can be very difficult. Imagine trying to put a button. Every time you get excited, you get that shake. So it's almost like intention tremor, but it's really jerky movement. So that would be very difficult. Or trying to put the hands in the sleeves, or trying to zip the button, or I meant the zipper. That is frustrating. Writing would be a problem. Using a phone, typing can almost be impossible with this type of condition. Walking can be unsafe, and somebody would have a higher risk of falls because the writing reaction would not be there, or they would have the writing reactions, but really rather than taking a step where the person intends to step, it's not going to get there. And it's just really, a person's just really at risk of falling. Socially, people will definitely be withdrawing due to embarrassment or some form of stigma. It really is a problem, especially if dyscalculia is a long-term condition. So as occupational therapists, what do we do? How do we assess what is our role as occupational therapists? Just like any other conditions, with us, it falls down on us understanding the occupational profile of our patients, what activities are important to our patients, and what area do they feel most impacted. So that's one. Understand the story. It always begins with a story. So don't shy away from assessing somebody with chorea, because at the end of the day, it's all about understanding the day-to-day function, how they were prior to you seeing them, and if it's the problem is new or old. Because if it is an old problem, that they've had these symptoms already and they came into you because of a respiratory problem, for example, or they've had new infection, technically nothing has changed. It's all infection. As soon as the doctors sorts out those infection, then you would anticipate that they can adapt to the chorea because it's been a long term and they have managed to adapt and live with it. But if it's something new, then after understanding the occupational profile, you need to have an observation of the patient. You need to find out how often does these movement occur and how do they disrupt the tasks. You have to establish the safety. Are they at risk of falls? Are they choking? Or will they burn themselves when they're cooking? What about cognition and mood? It's something that we need to check, especially if the conditions like, with conditions like Huntington's disease, for example, where it's a Huntington's chorea, because it will have an effect on that. Now, of course, we use standardized tools for ADLs, most popular in the country. It's easier to do, although people are not routinely using it, is the Barthel. Internationally, the popular one would be FIM, which is Functional Independence Measure, that's done by the United States. And then you have the COPM, which would be good as well. But these things take time, and it just meant that you have to see the patient in an outpatient one way or another, because out on the other countries, it'll be the insurances that pay for it, and then you have to show a level of improvement. But in the United Kingdom, there is not one statutory ADL measure or functional outcome measures. What I do is the Cambridge ADL and Rehab measure, or the CARE measure. That is something that yours truly have developed, and we are using it, and it's wonderful. There are some goal attainment scales or GAS, you know, if you wanted to do that, but I don't think it's in the remit of a lot of people to write something about those things. Those are the assessments, guys. What about interventions? What are the treatment? What are the OT interventions in chorea? Our interventions focus on supporting the function. So this would be, yes, function is priority. Our intervention would focus on enhancing safety and improving a person's participation and engagement. How do we do that? Then you use adapt and modify approach and prevent approach and support approach. Can you restore? Sometimes, very rarely. You can if it is if it's acute. Sometimes it's just short-lived, particularly with this thing called PTE, like pulmonary thromboendarterectomy. This tends to happen. I've observed this in this type of procedure. And it tends to resolve, but it does take some time. After surgery, it happens as well after the surgery. Again, for a procedure like a pulmonary thromboendarterectomy. And in critical care, if they have these problems, then they sometimes are perceived as somebody who are aggressive, or somebody who's confused, or somebody who is delirious. But remember, it might not be delirium, it could be a motor problem. So some of the interventions, like I said, environmental adaptations. If you're working in the community, you have to remove the trips and hazards, add grab rails, look for your advice for non-slip mats. Weighted utensils will help. That's one classic way on how to manage tremors or intention tremors. Weighted utensils, cups with lids, Velcro clothing, or some adaptive fasteners to make dressing easier. What about some of the compensatory strategies? You get them, say, to sit down while they're eating, or get them to put their elbows supported, have their elbows supported while they are eating. This is to reduce the spillage. So you're using the environment to stabilize the body. Again, weighted wrist and cuffs or pens to stabilize the hand movements. They can help. Task simplification, if at all possible. You have to analyze what task it is and then get the person to do it. You'll have to be creative, but you have to analyze the problem. You have to observe. Motor and functional retraining, it's good if it is task-specific, where you practice ADLs in a graded and supportive way. The more the person does it, the better it becomes. It refines the skills. So you can collaborate with physical therapists for balance and some mobility activities if you want. Although if you're skilled enough, if you're in the community, you won't call for a physio, won't you? You'll have to do it yourself. And it's the same. You're focusing on safety. You'll have to use adaptive aids. You'll have to use grab rails. You have to consider teaching the person some form of relaxation and some breathing strategies, since stress worsens the movement. So it's like taking in some air, relax, and move. Wait, and move. That kind of thing. The next type of intervention would be educational, and it can be a psychological support. So these are all supportive interventions, particularly when you are supporting families and carers with safety training. You are trying to explain what chorea is and what's happening. This is to reduce the stigma. And you'd want to encourage participation in meaningful activities, like leisure activities, right? So that is something that you do. I think the episode before I discussed chorea, before this, was the episode about the basal ganglia. The main root here is usually the basal ganglia, because the basal ganglia is the one that controls the refinement of movements. It modulates the movement. Okay? So if you want to understand the role of basal ganglia, listen to my previous podcast, guys. It's there. Or if you want, you can just read a book. It's all there. So, chorea is not just about movements, guys. It is about how those movements ripple through the daily occupations of that person. At the end of the day, it is a situation. It is a concern. Our focus is the person. It's not the movement. It is a concern, but it's not the movement. It's all about the person's doing, his or her relationships, the person's identity. As OTs, our role is to adapt the environments, teach these strategies, provide the tools, and maybe most importantly, give our patients the confidence that this life is still full of possibilities, even when the movement feels out of control. Right? Ooh, that's a bit philosophical. Well, there you go, guys. That's Korea in a nutshell, and that is with an OT lens, obviously, with an OT conversation. This is, I'd say, a relevant information involving OT, which makes these OT conversations a riot conversation. If you like this, talk to your friends about it. If you learned something, talk to your friends about it over a cup of tea. If you like it, the usual ask. Share, subscribe, ask your friends to subscribe as well so that you don't hog the information and the learning. Learn together, grow together. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.